Hello.
Hello, this is
Hey,
Chris.
how are you?
Hey, Sophia, how are
This
you?
is Sophia. I'm doing well. Is Lisa on?
Good. Not sure yet. I'm just now getting on.
Yes,
Sorry, everyone, for
she
being late. There's Lisa. Okay, the whole gang
Good
is here.
morning, everyone. I mean, good morning, good evening.
We have Freddie on? Freddie, are you here? No, I guess not. Okay. All right. Who'd like to do the? Let's wait one more minute if we can give some other people a chance to get on. I'm gonna do one final post real quick to see if I can get some other people.
Are we supposed to say hello when we come in?
Not necessarily, but if you like to, sure. Hello.
Okay, hello. I'm just
Hello.
making sure people were here.
Yeah, we have people here. We're waiting one more minute for others. Actually, we could probably get started now. It's 9:33. Who would
Okay.
like to do the intro? Lisa, Sophia?
I can do it. That's okay.
Okay. Thanks.
I think we're ready, Sophia.
Okay. Hi, guys. Good evening. This is Sophia. You've heard it already, Chris and Lisa. Welcome to Thursday night's conference call. A few months ago, it's going to be almost a year ago, but Lord really put it on Lisa's heart to start a conference call where, we as Sanders can come together and really talk and hear, a real person, a real life voice, and just offer up encouragement and just really talk about, what God is doing through His Word. We are standing on Scripture. Of course, everything that we talk about, we like to relay it back, and it always goes back to Scripture. We ask that these calls are recorded, so we kindly, kindly ask you guys not to reveal your spouse's name, because these calls will be posted on a website called praisereports.org for people that were not able to join on the call to go back at a later date and listen to them. If you would like to say your first name, that's fine, but we ask that you do not reveal or say your spouse's name. If you don't want to share your name, that's okay too. We also ask that while the call is going, if you guys would just look at your phone, and if you're not on mute, go ahead and place yourself on mute. And the reason why we ask this is because a lot of the noise in the background, if you're out in the store or if you're cooking or heating up something in the microwave, watching TV, we can pick up a lot of that noise. So we just kind of want to be respectful. And if you have a question, just go ahead and unmute yourself, ask the question, and then place yourself back on mute. But I think I've covered pretty much everything. Chris and Lisa, did I forget something?
You didn't forget anything, but I just want to let people know that it takes a couple of days sometimes to get these posted. So as soon as it gets posted, Chris, let us know, and we'll let you all know. So
Yes. But now I guess we like to open up these calls with prayer. Chris usually opens up with prayer, but do we have somebody else, whether it be another man or just anybody else in general, that would like to open us up in prayer? Nope, Chris, I think it's you.
Okay, I want to double check our... one more thing I want to add... our calls are usually about an hour and a half, so we realize that, you know, everyone has life going on, and if you do need to, you know, leave the conference call early, simply hang up. If you need to leave and come back, just dial right back in. Don't need to announce yourself when you do come back in, because if you announce yourself, then that might interrupt the flow of someone speaking. And then I think there was something else that I wanted to mention, and now I can't think of it, but that was it. Yes, it calls it an hour and a half. That's it. So everyone, welcome. Hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. And let me go ahead and open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you, all of us, men and women who are standing for our marriages, Father. You know each of our hearts. And Father, we've come together, Father, to... just like iron sharpens iron, Father, we've come, Father, to sharpen each other, to encourage each other, to help each other along. Everyone's in a different place of their journey of standing in the gap for our spouses, for our marriages, for our families, standing with you, Heavenly Father. We ask that as we have this conference call tonight that you would come join us. You said where two or more are gathered, you'll be there also. So, Father, we're looking for special revelation and your presence here with us in our conference call. Father, we ask for you to speak in and through us. Anoint us with your Holy Spirit that we might hear your voice and speak those words that some on this call really need to hear something from you through us. So, Father, we are your willing and humble vessels here. Just wanting to do what you called us to do. So, Father, we ask that you would do all of this in our conference call tonight, and that everyone here would be everyone here and everyone listening to this later, all of us would be equally blessed by this conference call and you being in it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, amen. Welcome to our conference call, everybody. And I'm going to pass it over to Lisa. I think she's kind of... kind of give us some direction here of a couple of things.
Okay, sounds good. So tonight we're going to have a survey. I picked up that term from another call that I attend from a very anointed woman of God. And so tonight that's what we're going to do. We're going to do a survey. And the topic of our survey is what men want to hear. And so... we have two main individuals. Chris is one, and then Freddie, if he has joined, is the other one. And they will give their perspective, and I mean it's their perspective, they're men, on what men want to hear. And they're free to come from any angle, direction they want to. When I ask the questions, it's basically just going to be four questions. But when I ask them the questions, they can respond and let us know from their perspective whether they want to talk about it from their, you know, wife or just from any woman or the strange woman, however you want to come from it. Also, I know we have other men on the call. Hold on. We have other men on the call. Sorry, my daughter's watching Psych in the background, so I needed her to mute that for a minute. We have other men on the call, and we want to hear from you as well as to in terms of what you want to hear, how these things make you feel when you hear them. So hopefully that's clear. And Freddie, have you joined?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
All right, awesome. Well, then I will go ahead and get started. And the very first question that we have, well, do I have any questions first before I start asking these questions? Are the instructions kind of like a game show? So, any questions? Anybody have any questions? And then when you're responding tonight, I think, you know, what would be interesting, especially for those who are standing, you can speak from the perspective of, are you hearing these comments, or have you heard this at all from your wife? And, you know, if you're not hearing it from your wife, then what does that mean? What does that say to you as a man, you know? So just kind of come from however you want to approach it tonight. But the very first question we're going to ask is, how do you feel or respond when a woman tells you she loves you? That's the first question. She loves you.
Chris, you can start.
Oh, I was about to say you go first. You beat me to the punch. Okay. I owe you one, Freddie. How do you feel or respond when a woman... Okay, so I'm going to... when Lisa asked me this question, you know, my question was, any woman or my wife? And I'm going to just answer from a husband's perspective, if my wife were to have, you know, to tell me this, because for me, for any woman, I can't even think about or imagine any woman telling me that she loves me, because if she did, my answer would be, thank you, I'm married, goodbye. But to my wife, I'm going to be very, very candid on this, that if my wife today were to tell me I love you, I would have some mixed emotions right now, mixed emotions and some feelings, given, you know, our situation. I think it would have to be a lot more conversation behind that. You know, if my wife tells me that she loves me, you know, what's, you know, can we talk about where you are? Can we talk about maybe the last 2.5 years, you know, where you've been? Why are you here now saying, I love you, where 2.5 years ago you said you don't love me anymore? So I think for me, I know Freddie's going to have a different answer, but for me, I'm still waiting for her to walk through that front door or the side door, but come back into you know, my marriage and my family. So I would probably answer with some trepidation, because I would need a lot more of, you know, what's behind the I love you. I don't know if I'm capturing the essence, Lisa, of what you were trying to do with this. So if I'm off mark, let me know.
No, you're perfect. For this particular question, you're perfect, because what I'm trying to get to is what is the impact of hearing the words I love you? And this conversation is actually going to escalate as we continue to ask the next few questions. So I know you want to expand, but hold tight, because we're going to get into some other ones. And I got to go back 1 second. I'm sorry. The reason this kind of came up, I wanted to give you all the history of this. Have you ever gone into YouTube and went to look at a video on relationships or restoration, and there's this little ad that comes up? I've heard it several times, and the ad says something like, if you say these 3 words to any man, you will have his heart forever, something like that. And I kept thinking, well, what are the 3 little words? And they gave you the first word and the third word, which is I, you. But then they wouldn't give you what the second word is. And then one morning, last Saturday morning, the Holy Spirit spoke a word to me. And so that's what started this topic, this conversation. So, Chris, I'll give it back to you. Were you finished, or did you have some more that you want to add?
On this very specific question, I think I'm finished. You there?
Okay, Freddie, your turn.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
I'll have to answer from this aspect. It depends on what mindset I was in at the moment. And when my wife and I, when our marriage was a mess, when I used to hear her say that to me, it kind of made me cringe inside, because I didn't know what love, I didn't really have a revelation on what love was, because I didn't know how to love myself. So I couldn't, so when I didn't really respond well back to her, and I know she noticed that. And it was because I didn't know how to give her something I didn't have, or didn't, or I couldn't, I didn't have the ability to give, because the way I grew up with my parents, love was understood, but it wasn't displayed. And so fast forward to now, when I hear it now, it's a form of validation. It's a feeling now. It, you know how the Grinch, when he found his heart and how he felt something in his chest? That's how I felt. You know, I know now that I need that. I need it. Men are not, we're not as different from women as you think we are. We need emotional support. We need it, but we don't ask for it in those terms. And sometimes it's hard for us to articulate that, because men are not to show their emotions, and, you know, we can't cry and all that kind of stuff. And so now that I understand what love is because of my relationship with God, now when I hear her say it and display it in her actions toward me, it feels like home. I know that sounds corny.
Awesome. All right. Do any of the other men have any response that they want to provide? Ladies, if you have questions, jot them down, because I want to get through all four of these, and then I'll let you take a chance to ask the men some questions. Okay. The next one is, did any man have anything that they wanted to add? Okay. The second one is, how do you feel, respond, or what type of impact do you have when you hear a woman, your wife, whomever, say, "I need you"? And this time we'll start with Freddie.
Oh, my wife arguing with me now. I said, I don't think I never heard you say that. But now, okay, I know it was deceptive, but when I was out there, when you hear someone telling you outside of your wife telling you that, it just makes you puff your chest out. It's like, wow, see, she gets me. I appreciate it now. She gets me. My wife don't get me. That's what I'm talking about, you know. And it's a false narrative, you know. She just playing her best cards for you. But it still, nonetheless, it made me feel, yeah, it made you feel like, you know, hey, man, like a man, like how a man is supposed to feel. But with my wife, it was so much, it was so much arguing. I never heard those words. That was foreign to me. That was foreign. But I can't concentrate because she's messing with me right now. But I'm telling you, this was foreign, but it feels good. But now I know in my wife's actions now, and how she looks at me and tells me those things, that a man needs to hear that. Like I said, we're not too different from women. We ask for it in different ways, or, you know, or sometimes we don't know how to ask for it, I guess.
So you probably just heard, "I need you to take the trash out."
Yes, ma'am.
"I need you to
get
that crying baby."
Yes, that type of thing.
And I'm sorry. But even if it wasn't asking him to do anything specific, it was almost the pride in myself where he had shown me his actions, so I didn't really feel the need to want to ask him, because I was so busy proving to him that I could do it all by myself. I don't need you.
Yeah, so. Us women, we have a hard time with humility.
No pride.
I thought men had pride. Oh, my goodness. We women got some pride, too. All right, Chris. Oh, I'm sorry, Freddie, were you done?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Chris?
Yeah, you know, I'm laughing quietly here in the background because, you know, at what Freddie said, because I don't know if I ever heard my wife tell me that she needs me. We've had a couple moments in our marriage where, you know, she showed great appreciation, gratitude, and great love for me where, you know, she would, and I emphasize appreciation and gratitude, and because, you know, I've always been there to support her in all of her personal issues and challenges, but I've never heard her say, I need you. So now, if she were to say that to me now, I think I would interpret that as we're on the road to recovery. We're on the road to a new marriage that God's going to create. You know, he makes all things new. So I think that I would take that in stride thinking we're on the road. We're on the road that God wants us to be as a husband and wife to grow together, continue growing together as in becoming the one flesh, more of the one flesh, because we are one flesh now, but becoming, I think, experiencing the one flesh more than what we have in the past. So I would be excited about that. I really would. And that's my answer.
This is really interesting. This is getting good. Any other men have any response? Do we have any other men on the call? So I'll stop asking if we don't. Okay, well, maybe we don't. Chris and Freddie, this is really, really, really good because I'm really interested in the women and how many of us women have said, I need you to a man. So hold on to that, though. Getting good. All right. The next one is, I respect you. Thoughts on that? Chris, starting with you this time.
I'll go first on this one. Okay. I respect you. Okay. My answer for this is going to be really simple. I think I would need to see action instead of words. For me as a man, as a husband, as a father, you know, respect is a pretty big thing for us. And you know, Freddie's talked about that several times in previous conference calls. You know, for men, for husbands, for fathers, respect from their wives is a pretty big deal. So I would say that I would probably take it in stride. I would appreciate it, thank her, and then go into my prayer closet and say, Lord, now, you know, she said it. Now move in her heart to show me. Because, you know, words are cheap. Words are cheap. Actions speak louder than words. And, you know, given what's happened in the past, I would need to see it. That's all I could say. That's my answer.
Okay.
And I'll say this. Let me throw one more thing in there, Lisa, if I can, real quick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just got done saying, I don't want to hear it. I want to see it. But I have seen a lot of that, and now that I think about that, I have actually have seen a lot of that over the last, you know, mm-hmm. several months. I have seen, you know, my wife on a couple of occasions would go out of her way to make sure that, you know, the children would respond when the five of us were together, that, you know, the children would respond in a respectful way to me, or that, you know, she would pause and say, hold on a second, we need to do this or that for Daddy because, you know, Daddy needs, yeah, whatever. She has demonstrated a couple of times when we were together respect toward me. And I see that in the limited conversations that we have, you know, in texting or phone conversations, I do get, right now I get respect. And it's a little bit odd because, you know, as she showed me this type of respect when we were together, that would have made a very positive difference, at least in me. And then who knows what that would have turned up, you know, how that would have caused me to react in a positive way, which then, you know, maybe love her more, or demonstrate, you know, the kind of love that God wants us to love our wives with. Maybe I would have demonstrated more of that toward her, and then maybe she would have responded, you know, in a more, I don't know. I don't know how that would have impacted our marriage leading up to our marriage crisis, but I know this is a long answer, but I see over the last, you know, 6, 8, 12 months, I've seen her respect toward me just grow. So that's interesting. She hasn't said anything, but I see it. It's there. Okay, now I'm done.
That's really good, Chris, actually. Wow. Really good.
Yeah.
We're going to come back to that one. We're going to unpack that a little bit more. Okay. Freddie?
Yeah, I have to agree. This is a good topic because just like Chris stated, you know, his needs, he wants to hear it rather than see it. Did I say that correctly, Chris?
I want it the other way instead of hearing it.
Oh.
Yeah.
You'd rather do what, Chris? I'm sorry.
I'd rather see it than hear it.
Yeah, so he'd rather see it than hear it. Now, my wife, she'll show me at times when she is not mad at me, but then she doesn't say it. I've never heard her say that. And so, as you can see, women, each man is different. We are just like women. Each woman is different and has different needs. And so this is an eye-opener for myself as well, because there are a lot of things that we as men want and need, but sometimes we don't know because we're not tapped into that emotional side of us, because we've cut that off. Because men don't cry, men don't feel emotions, and so I've heard it before. When I step outside of my marriage, I've heard it from other women, you know, and those things like that. Even though it's a false narrative that the enemy uses to kind of, you know, take you down a wrong path, but if we as men don't know how to convey that or ask for those things, you know, and then the woman doesn't know how to overcome her pride to properly submit herself in that regard, then there's always going to be that friction. And so just like we have to develop our relationship with God, spending time, we have to learn how to spend time and ask for those things. And it's a hard thing for a man to do, to ask for something that you should already know as a adult. And I know that, don't throw a rock at me, but that's just how some men think. Like, hey, you should know this. Because for me, it's like, why should I tell you these things? You should know. You pick up a book. I mean, do something. Ask. You know, and that's how I felt. And so because I felt that she didn't care enough to go deeper to figure out what I need as a man, then you didn't care. And so because I felt that you didn't care, then it opened me up to extracurricular activities.
Wow.
Freddie, can I make a comment on something you mentioned?
Sure.
You said something interesting, you know, pick up a book or, you know, whatever to get a question answered. I'm learning. I'm just learning, like, last week something happened this week something happened, and the Holy Spirit is just telling me, like, just go and ask her. Because I had a question about something, but it really wasn't any of my business. But I really wanted to know something. And, that's so vague, sorry. My wife still received some mail here at the house. So she received a piece of mail, and I was really curious of what it was. It has nothing to do with, like, another person or anything like that. I thought it was probably from a previous business that we had back in California, because we're in Ohio now. But, you know, so I'm going back and forth with, you know, should I ask her? Should I, how could I get an answer? And, you know, and as I'm thinking about it, I really didn't even pray about it. I think I was just in general having my morning prayer. And the Holy Spirit says, why don't you just go ask her? And this is equally for, you know, men and whoever's on this call or hearing this later, think about this. If you're the wife, think about this. If you're the husband, think about this. You're going to have those times where if you're the Holy Spirit speaking to you, you know, go and talk to your wife or go and talk to your husband about, you know, subject X, Y, Z, whatever it is. Go talk to them, you know, tune in and listen. Because what happened was I actually listened. I said, okay, and I was nervous about it. I really was, because when I didn't want to, you know, get into her business. I didn't want to ask about this thing. The other part of me was like, was thinking, well, what do I care? What does it matter? Just sweep it under the rug and move on. Like, you know, you don't need to know. And, you know, all this back and forth, you know, I'm debating in my mind. The Holy Spirit just finally said, why don't you just go ask her? Send her a text, just ask her. And so very nervously I did. I put together a very short text. I said, hey, you received, you know, this letter, XYZ, you know, and then I asked the question, you know, what is this about? And then not even 10 minutes later, she actually responded, and she told me what it was. And I started laughing because of all the, you know, the debating I was having in my own mind prior to that. But having listened to the Holy Spirit, when I got my answer, number two, this is the point I'm sharing this. This is the reason why I'm sharing this with you guys, is we need to learn to communicate with our spouses. And sometimes it's the small, stupid things. It's the small, stupid things that opens up the door of communication. It's the small, stupid things that you build a relationship on. Because at some point, God's going to bring your spouse back home. And guess what? You have to relate to them. The relationship has to pick up and keep moving forward. Whatever it looks like, whatever new thing God's going to do in your relationship, you know, you're going to have a relationship with your husband. You're going to have your relationship with your wife again. You know, some of you may, you know, right now we have a lot of distance between us and our spouses. If you feel like the Holy Spirit's prompting you to, you know, talk to your husband or your wife about subject X, Y, Z, I believe that's the Holy Spirit prompting and sparking a relationship to start or to continue. So I want to encourage you guys, stay tuned to the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid. Talk to your spouse. Talk to your spouse when the opportunity presents itself and you feel the Holy Spirit leading you, because you need to have that communication. You need to have that relationship, that friendship, you know, being restored. Okay. So I just wanted to share that because you said something, Freddie, like, you know, ask your spouse, ask them, you know, hey, do you like this or do you like that? If it's a real issue on the table of, you know, whatever it is, ask them. Don't be afraid. Ask. Open your mouth. Ask. Worst thing they can say is, none of your business, or I'm not going to tell you, or, you know, give you some kind of a non-answer. That's the worst. But what if the Holy Spirit's behind it, and that opens up a little bit of a conversation? Okay. I just want to throw that in. Thanks, Lisa.
I think that was question asked and answered. So, Freddie, did you have anything else on I Respect You?
Oh, no, ma'am. That's it.
Okay. All right. The next one and the last one is I Trust You. And keep in mind, all of these, it may be, they may finish it off with, I trust you to be the spiritual leader of our family, or I trust you with our finances. I trust you with my life. I don't know. But let's see, who goes first this time? Chris, Freddie, Chris.
Freddie,
oh, Freddie, you do, right?
Okay. Yes, now I've heard my wife say, tell me that she trusts me. And the reason why she trusts me is because I'm the priest of my home. At first, a lot of the battle with me and my wife in that regard to that trust piece, like I'd never heard her in the early years of our marriage tell me she trusts me because I wasn't in my proper place as a man. I didn't know how to be a husband. I didn't know how to be what she needed me. Her expectations of a husband and my expectations of a wife were two different things, but yet still I didn't have an individual understanding of how to be a husband because I'd never had that picture of in my family or anyone for that matter with a healthy marriage, not a perfect marriage, but a healthy marriage. That just didn't exist. And so hearing that, but as a man, I need to hear that trust. I need to hear that from a wife. That makes a man feel, have some stability in his home to know that his wife trusts him. She trusted his leadership. And so, but what I tell my brothers now is, in order for your wife to fully trust you, you have to be in your position, your rightful position as a man, as a priest of your home, and that can only come through your understanding or revelation on who God is. Because when you get a clear image of who he is, then that changes you. And when you make those adjustments to mirror his image and likeness, then your wife, she sees that in the spirit. And once she sees that, then automatically a woman, she slips into that mold. She lets go of the reins and she's like, I trust you. And when I heard my wife tell me she trusts me for the first time, I was like, who is this woman? Like, I never heard her say that before, but God taught me something in that to hear a woman say that look, I'm letting go, and I'm trusting you, and I'm following you, because now I see that you're operating with a sober mind. You know, I see that you're allowing God to lead you, so I'm going to follow you as you follow Christ. That's a feeling that's just, but if a man is not in that position, then a woman can't give him that. So I'm seeing now, as I make more adjustments, then it's easier for a woman to say those things, but the woman has to be in tune with that, and she has to make those necessary adjustments and get rid of that pride and really flow. This is my wife. So once you get through that pride and you're able to surrender yourself and, you know, minister to your spouse in that manner. And I think a lot of those positive affirmations like, I love you, I trust you, I respect you, it goes both ways. But for a man, when his woman tells him that, that's validation that I have arrived.
Wow. Much I want to say, but I won't, Chris.
Okay. My answer is going to be a little bit similar to Freddie's, but I'm going to put in just a slightly different words. When my wife comes back, when God brings my wife back to me in my marriage, and she were to say that, for me it would be a clear indication that I am following, I'm doing my marriage God's way, or put it a different way, I am following God's principles in my marriage, for my marriage, as a husband and as a father. Not that I haven't in the past, and I'm sure, you know, my past as a husband and father has been riddled with mistakes. But for my wife to say that, it's a mile marker. It's an indicator that, cool, I'm doing it God's way, and God is God's wisdom and discernment is always spot on. So when we do marriage as a husband or as a wife, when we do marriage God's way, and we hear that kind of a thing from our spouses, then that should be an indicator that we're doing what God wants us to do in our marriage. So for me, it's going to be a mile marker. Now, I will go on and say that, you know, my wife did trust me prior to our marriage crisis. When our marriage crisis did hit and she, you know, filed for divorce, moved out, did all of that, there was no trust from her toward me for the first year and a half. But over the last 12 months, her trust, and again, for me, it's, trust is, I prefer to see my wife trusting me than to have her say it. I want her to demonstrate that she trusts me. So, and having said that, I will say that I have seen it. I have seen it in the last 12 months, 8 to 12 months. I have seen my wife, her trust for me, grow exponentially. I will tell you this, is that when she first moved out, when she'd come here to the house, she would lock the car. She would come over here, and when she came inside the house, her car is in the garage, in our garage here. So with her car in the garage, she would lock leave her purse there, lock her car, and then come in the house. She had little to no trust of me. But fast forward 2.5 years now, here we are. I've been to her house many times. I've been to her house without her being there. She would let me in. She has a remote access. So she would let me into the house, you know, to take her dog for a walk, do whatever. So now trust has not only been restored, but it's pretty strong. So for me, because I need to see it, I see it. I see that from my wife. And let this also be an encouragement to you guys, because whatever you might be seeing from your spouse right now, that's not the way it's going to be forever. That's not the way it's going to be for, you know, next month from now or next year from now. Trust God. Trust God, number one. Trust God in God's timing, number two, because God is actively working on your situation. God's working on your spouse. And the other thing, I think Freddie, you might have touched on this, I'm not sure, but trust is a two-way street. It's not, you know, like men want to be respected, women want to be loved. Trust is something that both husband and wife want and need. But trust can also be restored by being consistent, and you have to be consistent. Whatever you're doing that God is having you to do, do it consistently. If you're loving, be loving consistently. If you're being forgiving, be forgiving consistently. whatever God's directing you to do towards your spouse, be consistent. Be consistent all the time, because that's what's going to start bridging the gap and restoring and building trust. They have to see it over and over again. So that's my answer on trust. If I don't need my wife to come and tell me. She trusts me because she's already demonstrated that she has. So for me, her actions speak louder than words. That's my answer.
You hit on something really key, Chris. In order for a woman to even get to a point of trusting, let me rephrase that, a godly woman, a woman, when you were standing for marriage, we're trusting God wholeheartedly with that. And so my experience is that in order for me to trust the spouse, I have to trust God first. I have to trust that if my spouse is getting ready to rear this family in the wrong direction, that God is going to intervene. That will keep me humble and keep me from being in a place of trying to exert authority over him. Trusting God first for me as a woman is really, really critical or important to me being able to even trust the man, to even say I trust you, because I'm trusting God first and then trusting him. So I want to give the women an opportunity right now, unless there's another man that wants to speak on one of these four items. Love you. I love you. I need you. I respect you. I trust you. So women, any questions for our men or any comments?
I don't have a question. I have some feedback to what something that Kalonda said as far as like telling Freddie, I need you, because I know for a fact that I have told my husband in the past I don't need you. In the heat of an argument with the pride and not understanding exactly what he needed as a man, I figured me telling him I love you was also, you know, me saying I respect you, I trust you. But to really say those words to him, I don't think I've ever told him that I respect him. I've told him before, I trust you. And to humble myself enough to say I need you, nah, I wouldn't have done that. So just to hear her validate that and to hear what Chris and Freddie had to say as far as what a man thinks when a woman says those things has been very eye-opening for me.
Wow, thank you. That was good. And so, okay, Freddie, Chris, if you hear the opposite of that, I don't need you, I don't love you, I don't respect you, what's your response to that? How can a woman come back from making the opposite statement?
What I've learned is that, okay, so let me be very specific here. When my marriage crisis hit, when my wife, she told me she filed for divorce, and we had, you know, conversations, and in one of them, I think two or maybe three times she said it. I don't love you. I don't love you anymore. I don't want to be married. I don't need a man. I don't need a husband. I don't want one. I just totally lost my train of thought. When she said that to me back then, initially it rocked my world because, here this is my wife speaking. What I've learned since then, though, is, and I learned within a few months because I started digging, you know, for God's answers on this. And as we've come to, you know, we're Restore Marriage Ministries, and I've, you know, come across a different ministry as well, and come across many testimonials of restored marriages and or returned prodigal spouses, even more specifically, returned wife, prodigal wives. What I've learned since then, and I have to share this with you guys because I want you guys to hear quite closely and carefully. What I've learned since then is that everything that comes out of her mouth that's in the negative toward me as a husband, our marriage, all of that is a manipulation and lies from Satan. So back then I didn't know. Back then I didn't know, and I just reacted as probably all of us did when we heard our spouse say, you know, say those kinds of things. But now fast forward, if I hear something negative, which I haven't in a long time, by the way, but if I were to hear something negative, I think I would just kind of brush it off and say, well, that's spiritual warfare. I'm just going to, you know, continue praying and fasting for that and fasting for her, praying and fasting for her. So I'm in a different place now where when, you know, those things don't bother me, you know, little or not at all. It's an indicator for me to go pray. So hearing those things in a negative, I don't love you anymore. I don't need you. I don't want you. I don't want to be married. I will tell you this categorically, absolutely, without a doubt, every one of you hearing me answer this, everything you're hearing from your spouse that's similar to that is an absolute lie from Satan speaking through your spouse. In Ephesians 6, we are told that we don't fight flesh and blood. We're not fighting our husbands or our wives. We're fighting the spiritual warfare. So just like Peter, who was an apostle, he was a disciple. He was right there next to Jesus Christ. And he got upset with Jesus that he was going to the cross. And he said, no, we're not going to let you. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, you know, get behind me, Satan. He wasn't speaking to Peter. He was speaking to Satan, who was using Peter's mouth as a blowhorn to speak through Peter. So we need to recognize who's making the statement. Is it our spouses or is it, you know, our enemy speaking through them? If Peter, being with Jesus Christ, walking with Jesus Christ, could unknowingly allow Satan to speak through him, how much more our spouses? And, you know, so if anything, have some compassion for your spouses because they're just echoing what Satan, our enemy, their enemy and our enemy, is speaking through our spouse's mouth. So everything that you hear in the negative from your spouse toward you, your marriage, your family, they're never coming back. They've never loved you. They're happy with the other person. Lie, 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 lie. Just every single one of those. So how do you want to respond? Do you want to respond in the physical towards what your spouse is saying, or do you want to respond in the spiritual, recognizing that the real battle is our enemy speaking through our spouses? So if you understand that, that will determine how you respond and how you react, and that will also determine what your feelings and emotions are going to do. Because if you truly look at your spouse and say, yeah, I know, so in your heart, you know it's spiritual warfare, and that's not your real husband or your real wife saying those things, then when you can have compassion for them, you can pray for them, you can be unconditionally loving towards them, and you're going to have a little to no reaction to them when they say those things. But on the other side, if you look at them, that they're the ones actually saying that, and you perceive that it's coming from their heart and that they they themselves mean that and direct that towards you, then now your feelings are going to be hurt, your emotions are going to go crazy, and then guess what? You are going to behave and react based on those erratic, crazy, exploding feelings and emotions, whether you go run and hide or you turn around and you give them some choice words. Whatever it is, you're going to be coming from hurt feelings and emotions because you're perceiving that your husband or your wife, from their heart, that's coming, but that's not true. So again, how you see them and what they're saying is how you're going to react. So again, physical response or spiritual response. And I'm done.
All right. Anyone else? I wanted to ask Kalonda. I know you're in there on here. I guess is Kalonda, you still here?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So you had kind of started to expound a little bit earlier. When Freddie was there, I never heard my wife say that. What is your feedback on this? Maybe things, reasons why you didn't say it. If you can think back to when you two weren't together, when you were separated, I know that might be a little challenging. What's your perspective on this? Speak from your heart.
The initial reason that I never told him just throughout would be because of anger, of not telling him different reasons that I needed him. I didn't want him to see that I was vulnerable because most of the time I did need him and I wanted him to be on the same page with me. And when I saw that he wasn't, I didn't really feel the need to kind of put myself out there or to show him that I was weak or to show him that I was vulnerable and I did want it to work because I wanted him to understand that I would be okay regardless, with or without him. And after the separation, when we weren't in the house together, it was just a different focus. My focus was so much on my own survival, my own repair, my getting better for me and the kids. I couldn't concentrate on what he was doing anymore, what he was going through, or even caring enough to communicate or put a whole lot of thought into what does he think. So during the time that we were apart, I didn't take it into consideration anymore because I had completely given the whole situation to God. So whatever God felt like he needed to do or would do, it was fine with me because I was not bothered. You know how you hear people say you just are not bothered about the situation anymore? I literally had tapped into that moment of not being bothered.
Well,
Kalonda, was there any indifference mixed in with that as well, from you?
From which part? Just
from
not,
you towards Freddie, like indifference.
To me, then, I felt like I didn't feel the connection anymore. So since I didn't feel it from him, it almost made it somewhat easy to not show my emotion. Because when you have a situation where you know your love is unconditional, your love is not going to change, and the other person is showing you something different, you just have the mindset, and my mindset was, okay, well, I can't seem vulnerable to him anymore. I can't seem like I want him because that'll seem desperate to me, and I'm not going to look like that to him because I don't want him to think that I need him or I really want him. So that was the reason behind that. He just did not show me that he cared enough for the marriage when I did. So that's why I did.
Yeah, but I think my question is, so at that point when you responded to him not showing interest or love, did you then at some point experience some indifference toward him?
I didn't. My feelings, emotions didn't change as overall. It did not.
Okay. Lisa, back to you.
Anyone else? Sophia, you've been awfully quiet tonight. Any other women on the call? Is this helping anybody? Hurting you?
Hello.
Group is awfully quiet. Okay, go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, we can hear you.
We hear. Go ahead.
Oh. Okay. It's helping. I've always had a problem with communication myself. Sometimes I don't know what to say. And the type of person that I am is I just shut down and I just say nothing. And so to hear that, and before I was the type that I used to have a lot to say because I was always reserved. And so listening to what Freddie and Kalonda is saying about communicating between each other, husband and wife, it does give me a different perspective on, you know, when to speak up, when to say words that are healing, even if I'm in a place of being upset, when to be quiet so I won't say the wrong thing. And it's not only about words, but it's how you say it too. So I guess it's just more of me wanting to just put my thought on what I've received from what I heard this evening. So, yeah, I haven't spoken to my spouse in some time now. So when he comes, I want to be ready. So that's why this is it's helpful for me. So, yeah.
Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else? So let me go ahead then and share this with you. And she just hit on it a little bit too when she said, you know, if your spirit isn't right, if you're coming from a place of manipulation, you're coming from a place of anger or pride or anything else that is not of God, you're going to fail to accomplish what it is that God is trying to get you to do. And we have to be moved and led by the Holy Spirit. So these are not just things that you just say to try to get a response. They're not things you're saying in hopes that, oh, maybe if I say I trust you or I need you, he'll come home. That's not the purpose here. The point of it is, which I think everybody is saying tonight, is that it has to come from a place of the heart, of the spirit, of God's spirit, where you're speaking to that person's soul. You're looking at them in their eyes, and you're connecting with them in an intimate way. That is the point. Now, so the word that I received that morning last Sabbath was, I need you, I trust you. It's like they came back to back. I need you, I trust you. And I wasn't sure if those were the right words or not. So, but, you know, I got some counsel, and counsel is good. And so I knew it wasn't I love you. I knew because that didn't make any sense. We hear that's tossed around so carelessly these days until it almost has lost its meaning. So I knew it wasn't I love you. But then I found another video, and in this video, they said that the three words are, I trust you. I feel like this, I shared this with Chris last weekend, and it's like a good stew. I think you can't go wrong with any of it. You know, I need you, I love you, I trust you. And even to give it some context, you know, I need you what? I need you to what? I need you to be my friend. I need you to be my lover. I need you to be, you know, I need you to be here. I just need you. That kind of a thing. So to me, this was, I really appreciate Chris and Freddie giving their perspectives, one from a stander, one from a prodigal, one that's restored, one that's still standing, and one African-American, one Caucasian. It's just different perspectives, but it, to me, I was feel like I was getting the same message. So I'll keep asking. You know, we have a few more minutes left here for tonight. If nobody else has anything else to say, Freddie, I don't know, do you have any closing comments that you'd like to make?
No, I mean, you just put the icing on the cake, you know. I leave it like that.
It's a good cake, too. You know, as a woman, I want to say that, like I said earlier, to me the hardest thing is recognizing my own pride. And as I recognize my own pride, God is continually, daily showing me and humbling me. And we don't always think of women as being prideful like that, but if we're standing, there is something that the Lord is really trying to work out of us and into us. There was something I wanted to mention, and I can't remember what it is now, so I'll just let it go. Oh, I know what it is. So just to give you all a little share here, I did share some of these words with my husband X last week, and before my eyes I began to see the wall of offense just coming down. So there is power in the words when it's backed by the Holy Spirit. When it's not, like I said before, if it's manipulation, you're just putting yourself out there in the deep waters without a lifeboat. And we have to be willing sometimes to just trust God all the time. Be willing to trust God and then depend on him and just let him do the rest. I know sometimes I'm afraid of rejection. If you're standing and you've been rejected before, there's a fear that comes with it. I don't know if my good friend has joined the call or not, but she gave me an acronym for fear, and it just hit home. So, I don't know. Prophetess Trigg, are you on this line tonight? Well, she is. Maybe she stepped away. But I think she said it was feeling emotionally armed robbed or armed robbery. So basically having your feelings jacked up, just taken. And you all know what an armed robbery is. It's just somebody just comes in with guns and whatever else, whatever weapons they have, and they just steal from you. And that's what fear does. It comes in like a thief armed and just steals your emotions, so your feelings. So, Chris, I don't have anything else tonight. I appreciate you and Freddie, both of you, taking the time to share your perspectives. It was really enlightening. I'll go ahead and give it back over to you. Did someone have something they want to say?
Yes, Lisa, I have a question or a comment. What do you do in the situation when you know that your husband wants respect, but you don't feel that they are deserving of the respect because of the way they've acted? And as a wife, what do you say, or should you even say anything at all? How do you show the respect and trust even when you don't feel it?
Fake it until you feel it. I'm going to just throw this in there real quick. Just as we are called to unconditionally love one another, for husbands, when God tells us, love your wife, as Christ loved the church, there were no conditions attached. Love your wife as Christ loved the church, except for when your wife you know, mm-hmm. fill in the blank. There's no condition there. So if there's no condition for the husband, then there's likewise nowhere where it says wives respect your husbands except for fill in the blank. There isn't any. It's just wives respect your husbands. Husbands love your wives, period. So so it's always and always and always. And if you can't muster up the right attitude or the right feelings and emotions, do it anyway. Fake it if you have to, but do it. Ask the Lord for strength. You could pray in your heart. God hears your heart. He hears the prayers in your heart. And I'm not throwing this out there to be mean, like, oh, you better show respect to your husband, because I've had many situations where I have to show unconditional love towards my wife in our marriage crisis, in our situation. So, you know, for you, it's respect. For me, it's love. For me, it's, you know, loving her unconditionally. For you, it's respecting unconditionally. So, you know, two different sides of the same coin. There's no conditions to it. There have been times when I would have to just, you know, my wife would say something or do something that would just stir up my you know, feelings and emotions, or would make me angry. And I take it to the Lord in prayer. And Laura says, love her anyway. Love her in spite of this. Love her in spite of that. So I'm pretty sure that the same advice is respect him regardless. Respect him regardless of this or regardless of that. And, you know, because obedience to God is, God wants obedience. And God enjoys obedience. So when we say, Lord, I'm going to love her no matter what she does, even though she did this thing or said this thing and it made me mad or made me angry. I remember just recently, just last month, she did something that just, you know what, for a week, well, not for a week, for several days, I was upset. And I took it to the Lord. I took it to the Lord in prayer. I said, Lord, you know what? I'm angry with her. I'm upset with her. How could she, you know, do this thing and, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And I just, you know, I talked to God as if he was right here in the room with me. And when it was all said and done, he said, yeah, but I want you to love her anyway. I said, crap, fine, I'll do it because you said so. That's what God wants to see. You know, are you going to be obedient? So it's hard, but pray and ask for the strength to do it. The Holy Spirit will help you. And if you need to fake it, then fake it, but do it, because God will reward you. God will reward you more than you know. Trust him on that.
I like to respond to the world mindset is that respect is earned, but mm-hmm. the mind of Christ says that respect is an honor or a glory unto God. So when I respect my husband, so I'm going to 1 Peter 3:1, which we all know, 1 and 2, wives likewise be submissive to your own husband. That even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won mm-hmm. by the conduct or chaste behavior, or however you want to interpret that, of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. And that is the fear of the Lord. And so we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if a husband is not obeying the word, there's a good chance that his behavior is not one that warrants respect. So when we give respect to the husband who is not deserving of respect, then we are actually giving honor and glory unto God. That is how God gets the glory, because it takes a woman of God to be able to honor anybody that is not given, you know, that is not deserving of it. It takes a man of God to honor someone who is not deserving of it. So think about in the natural. If you have a boss that does everything they can to despise you, to get rid of you, but yet you show up on time every day your yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, or no, sir, and no, ma'am, or whatever it is that you're doing, you get your job done, you show that person respect, not because of who they, not because of what they are doing and how they're treating you, but because of who they are. Likewise with your spouse, because he is your spouse and because he is a man of God, whether he's walking it out or not, that is still a man or a woman of God. We have to call those things that are not as though they are. We have to speak purpose over those individuals. So if you treat an individual the way that they are behaving, then what have you given them to rise up to? There's no level for them to come up to. I was told early on, you never tell a man, I don't trust you, because you give them no reason to trust them, for them to earn your trust. So my belief is that if you take on the mind of Christ, you will respect him because he is the man of God. And if you don't believe he's the man of God, then what are you standing for? Because he just hasn't come into his own yet. He hasn't come into that rightful place of God yet. But we know that he shall. He will do that. We speak purpose over them. So we can't contradict our prayers with our mouth or our behavior by being disrespectful to someone who at the time does not appear to be deserving of that respect. That's my response. Anybody else have a response?
Does that help answer your question?
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead.
So my husband, he kind of like in and out, kind of AWOL. Oh, actually, okay, so just we're divorced, and he's sort of in my life. It's a long story, but he says that, you know, he doesn't want to be with me. He can't see us being together. So, but then he tells me he's really, there's just things he says that show that he's confused. I guess my question is, do I just stop reaching out to him? Is that being respectful to his wishes of not being with me? Does my question make any sense? Sorry if it doesn't.
It does, and that's a tricky question, because no two relationships are alike. Every relationship is very unique. That's where you're going to have to step into a relationship with the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. As your relationship is unique, only the Holy Spirit would know what...
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear us? Can you hear us? I'm speaking. Hello? You're there, right? So just let pray about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. You know, if you feel like you have to reach out to them, reach out to your husband, say something or do something, and if you're not sure, just pray about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. There isn't one answer that's going to fit all situations. And if you make a mistake, don't sweat it. Ask God, you know, just say, God, I think I made a mistake. I'm not sure, but if I did, Romans 8:28, Lord, work my mistake towards your purpose of healing and restoring my marriage. So Romans 8:28 is, you know, to cover our mistakes when we unintentionally made them. It's my answer. Anybody else?
To God be the glory. Chris, you can go ahead and close us out in prayer. Or however you want to close out.
Well, we got a few more minutes. Are there any, first of all, whoever asked the last question, did that help?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Hi.
Yes, we're here.
That was very interesting. I was saying my question, then I didn't hear anyone, and I had to hang up. and dialed back in. So I didn't hear anyone's response at all.
Okay. So I'm going to give you the short answer that I just gave you. Just pray about it and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you when to reach out towards your husband or when not to. Because every relationship is unique, and only God can help you out with that. The Holy Spirit will help you. And if you feel like you made a mistake and, you know, you reached out to him and maybe, you know, you feel like you made a mistake, you misunderstood the Holy Spirit saying yes or no or whatever, Romans 8:28, use that as in your prayer to, you know, ask God to work your mistake into his plan of restoring your marriage. Does that help?
Yeah, sort of. So I guess, I mean, I know that's what I do. I mean, I pray and I try to, you know, ask God for guidance. But sometimes, yeah, I get a little confused.
And, you know, I know we hear this a lot, you know, pray about it, ask the Holy Spirit. I remember before my marriage crisis, I would hear that in church all the time, you know, Paul, pray about this and pray about that. And it wasn't until, you know, this marriage crisis that I've gone into prayer many, many times for very, very specific things, and God would answer those specific questions. So when I say take in the Lord in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, guide you, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. He will. And there's no one answer that's going to fit, you know, your situation. You know, that's why you have to go to the Holy Spirit. He's the only one's going to know your situation, your marriage, your husband, your unique relationship, and give you the appropriate answer.
Excuse me, Chris. You mind if I
talk
to the young lady? Ma'am, are you still on the phone, ma'am?
Yes, I am. Thanks.
Oh, okay. First of all, I know it takes a lot of courage for you to, you know, to open up and ask these type of questions. That's very personal, very sensitive. And I want to say this first. God is a God of order. He does things in decency, in an order. And as his people, we have to adopt that same mentality. And so even though it hurts, you have to respect that person's wishes. If they tell you not to contact them at the time, you have to learn how to be okay with that, because it could become stalking or they could be agitated. And what you're doing in essence is you're playing God in your situation. When you need God to come through and do the miraculous, then sometimes it means we have to get out the way. We have to get out the way so we can give God something to work with. Now, as we were talking, there's some more things that you're dealing with. That wasn't the question that you asked, weren't the real question that you wanted to know. There's some other things going on in your situation, but you can't really clearly articulate it yourself right now. And there's something deeper, there's something deeper that you need from God, an answer that you need from God. And this conversation is deeper. It goes deeper, you know. So what I'll say to you is, from the conversation, the entirety of this call, what I want you to walk away with is to understand this is about you and God right now. And right now, I know you have a lot of pain inside you, and you have more questions than you have answers. There's a lot of answers you want from God, but you don't know how to get it. It's like you've been praying, but no answer. And so, for time's sake, it's it's a little bit more deeper than a direct answer per se. But as far as the contact piece, you have to trust God in knowing that, hey, I don't understand it fully, but right now I'm gonna respect His wishes, because there's a reason why He's saying that. If you press too hard, then you can kind of throw a monkey wrench into what God is trying to do. And as long as you keep yourself in the way, then you're going to limit what God can do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. That's probably what I needed to hear. So.
Yeah, and if you need to reach out, you can contact Lisa or Chris and get my information. I would like to speak to you, you know, off this conference call. I just want to share some things with you.
If you could just share it with the group, because I don't, out of respect of God and my husband, I don't really, you know,
That's no problem. Just for time's sake, we can't go. I know I can't go into a whole session with you on this, but I'll tell you this. You have to start where you are. I know, you know, when people say, you know, give to God, trust God, you're asking how. How do I do that? How do I go into detail? How do I go? Because I've been praying what I'm thinking I'm doing that. So why am I not getting any results? Why am I not seeing any forward movement? And it goes back to the way we were taught, the way we were brought up, the experiences. We say as believers that we believe in God, that we trust God, but in essence, we really don't. And that's not a rock being thrown at anyone. It's just what we thought, the methodology to who God is. We only reach out to God when we need something. We've adopted this mindset that God, he's the physician at the emergency room. You go to Him when you're in trouble. When you're in a car accident, the first thing you cry out, God, help me, save me. You know, if you're in trouble, you want to pray. If your light's going to get turned off, you go to God. So now that you have a deficit in your life, you want God to move on your behalf. But you've been silent toward God throughout your life. When things are good, we don't submit ourselves to God totally. And it's in your relationship with Him that you're gonna make the necessary adjustments when you find fulfillment in that true relationship with God. When you understand who God really is, you're gonna start making some adjustments in yourself. And once you start making those necessary adjustments, He will see it in you. But you have to allow God to do His job and work on your husband's heart. I'm not here to give you any false hope about, you know, what's God going to do in your relationship. I'm not a fortune teller. I hear from God, but I'm not a fortune teller. And so what I'm saying to you, ma'am, is you have to find out who God is for yourself. For yourself. Not the appearance. See, you've been having the appearance of an understanding. You thought you had an understanding of God, but you haven't come into a complete relationship to understand who God really is. And it's only in that you're going to find the fulfillment, because it's not in the restoration of the marriage. Like I was talking to Lisa today, it's going to be that's going to be the benefit of you aligning your relationship with God properly. Seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all those things will be added. The reason why all of us have gone through challenges in our marriage is because we didn't have the correct information. And when you don't have the correct information, you're bound to make mistakes and you're bound to fail. And so we've been doing this marriage thing incorrectly. We go into marriage before we find out who God is and to reflect his true nature and image in this earth like we're supposed to. So we do things our way, we make a mess of it, and we expect God to clean it up overnight. Not that he can't, but he is God. He's God, not you. He moves in his own timing. The same God that created time, he exists outside of time. So when he doesn't come or move when we want him, then we're upset with him. And we have to change our mindsets when it comes to this. It's either you're going to be 100% with this or you're not. That's a choice that you have to make, but you can't play with God anymore. You can't play with God. You got to be all in or nothing. And so that's what I want to leave with you.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Okay, that brings us to 11 o'clock, at least here on the East Coast, top of the hour. And just a reminder that we only do conference calls now every other week. So next week, we're not going to have a conference call. If the conference line, though, is available. So if you know, two or more of you want to get on and have a conference call, it will not be hosted or moderated, but you can certainly call in and have your own conference call. And I think that's it. So everyone, thanks for coming in our conference call tonight. Hope you found some words of encouragement from tonight. I will go ahead and close it out with prayer unless anyone else wants to, Freddie or anyone else wants to close out in prayer. And then we'll say goodnight until for another 2 weeks. Freddie or anyone else interested in closing us out?
Okay. Father, I thank you right now for your spirit. I thank you for your power. I thank you for the conversation. And I thank you for the hearts and minds, Father God, that have received your word. Your words are spirit and life, Father God. And I thank you for the cultivation of the hearts and minds of your people. Father God, I thank you for that planted word. And I thank you right now, Father God, that you will water and give increase. I thank you that you will give wisdom and understanding and clarity, Father God, for each person's situation. I thank you, Father God, for your promises in your word, Father God. I thank you for being the Most High God. I thank you for being our healer and our deliverer. And I thank you for those that are emotional pain, Father God. I ask that you will bind and heal every wound. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you will bestow your peace on their hearts and minds right now, Father God. I thank you that you will order their steps aright. I thank you, Father God, that you will cause your people to prosper. I thank you that they are prospering their spirit and their body and their minds and their hearts and their relationships and every person they come in contact with, Father God. Reveal yourself to them, Father God, through love. Allow them to reflect your true image and likeness in this earth, Father God. Let us be the lamp. Let us be the light, Father God, to a dark world. I thank you, Father God, for everything that has been accomplished. And for everything that shall be revealed in your matchless son name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Freddie.
Amen.
God bless you, everyone. And we'll see you on the prayer wall. And we'll see you back here in 2 weeks. God bless you. The Lord's got this. Don't worry. Take care. Go with God.
Good night.
Good night.